We get to say something pretty impressive this morning in church. We get to read a scripture lesson that is a whole book of the Bible this morning. How about that? I won't try that with Isaiah, don't worry, because we'd be here until probably next week if we tried to do Isaiah out loud like that. But we are in the letter to Philemon this morning. I'll give you a moment to find it since it's only one page. It's right before Hebrews, right after Titus. It can be difficult to find even if you know exactly where it is. But I will read the entirety of this letter this morning. Hear now the word of our God. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. One thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of God for you and for me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Lord, in these words, may we find our relationship with you. Amen and amen. We have before us an intriguing text this morning, somewhat unique in that in the entirety of this book, I know that sounds like a lot. In the one page of this book, there really isn't much theologically going on. There isn't much from a Christ perspective where we talk about the Lamb of God or the Savior. Instead, we have a letter that is almost a personal account, an insight into who Paul really is and how Paul carries himself as a pastoral counselor, as a friend, as someone who considers himself a brother in Christ to Philemon. And so, instead of diving into a theological argument on this letter this morning, I'd like to kind of play a what-if game. And that is, what if in every single one of our relationships, we approached issues of contention, of disagreement, of frustration with the other person in the same way that Paul does in this letter? For to me, we have in front of us an example of the utmost way to hold a relationship with someone. By that, I mean that first of all, Paul comes into the relationship with humility. It's not often that in a letter you have written, "I come to you even though I'm old," which is direct words from Paul. "I come to you with all of my frailties, with who I am at this very moment. I come into this discussion just as broken as every other human out there. I come into this relationship just as broken as anyone. And as I enter into this dialogue, I want to do something first. And that's to praise you for who you are. I thank God every time I lift you up in prayer. You are, in fact, an incredible, godly person, Philemon. I love that about you. And that is how I want to establish this conversation and this relationship this morning. On the basis of humility and appreciation for the other. Because we have two people kind of at odds with each other, coming into a situation from two different perspectives. There's a picture going around the internet right now that I've seen multiple people post that is two people standing on the opposite sides of a number. And one of them is exclaiming, almost angrily, "It's a six." And on the other side, the other one digs their heels in and says, "No, it's a nine." Because they are on opposite ends of the spectrum of what this is. And that came to my mind whenever I approached this letter today. Because on the one hand, we have the culture that Philemon lives in. A culture that really has a majority of slaves. It was acceptable at that time. And in fact, this letter was used by Christians very recently, and even still today, to consider slavery as something that was biblical. Philemon is living in this time where he can punish Onesimus, who is his slave, however he pleases. And if that slave runs away, the acceptable punishment is death. And so this letter that Paul writes is literally a life and death plea. Because on the other side of that six, you have Paul looking at the nine. And he is saying, this is a beautiful child of God. This is someone who I have adopted into my kinship. We have shared in relationship together. Even though I'm in prison, he has taken care of me. And so from my point of view, Paul, I appeal to you to maybe try to see it my way. Because I come to you out of humility and love, hoping to change this one moment. What if we approached each and every relationship we had in this way? It may be easy to do so with family. Oh, it may be more difficult to do so with family for some. To come into conversation where you know you disagree with someone. You know you have a different perspective with someone. And you feel like you're coming from it from a loving angle. And to then approach that relationship and that conversation in the same type of love as Paul does. What if, whenever we butt heads with each other on opposing theologies even, or opposing politics, that we take that relationship as Paul takes this one? My favorite words out of this letter are, well, it's what the title of the sermon is, but verses 8 and 9. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. How many people, you don't have to raise your hands to this, how many people here, whenever you were growing up, had a parent or a grandparent who had, let's just say, maybe so we don't resonate too much with anybody. Let's say your grandmother placed a newly baked pie on the windowsill to cool. And she looked at you and said, I command you to not even touch that pie. I command you to not even touch that pie. As a wonderful rebellious kid who I'm sure none of you are or were, what would you be tempted to do in that instance? Oh, you command me, huh? You command me, huh? Finger right in the middle and enjoy it. What, on the other hand, would you be likely to do if that same grandmother said, because I love you and I want to share this pie with all of those within our family, I appeal to you out of that same love to just hold on for about 30 minutes while it cools, that we can all then share in the glory of this pie. What would you do then? I'm sure some of us would probably still stick our finger right in the middle of the pie and taste it. But it alters the perspective a little bit. Because in our culture, in this day and age, if someone says, I command you to do something, it has the opposite effect, almost. It makes you want to rebel against them. It makes you almost despise them. Who are you to command me? This is my life. These are my decisions. Who are you to command me? But instead of doing that, and Paul had every right to command Philemon in this moment, because Paul had the apostolic authority over him, really. Instead of doing that, Paul took the sweet grandmotherly approach and said, I appeal to you out of love, that you may see this from the perspective that I see it. That even though this slave may have run away from you or wronged you or owes you something, He has been of so much benefit to me. He is so loving to me. I appeal to you in that same love, to accept him back, not as a slave, but as kin, as part of the family, as someone that you love just as unconditionally as your mother, your father, your grandmother, your sister, your brother. What if we approached every single relationship that we have in the same vein as Paul does in this moment? My challenge to you, church, is to change the lens with which you look at your relationships. Maybe change the lens with how you look at your beliefs sometimes. Because whenever you enter into dialogue with someone, a stranger, a friend, a family member, someone you love dearly even, if you come in saying, "I am right and I command you to believe exactly how I believe, I am right, you better follow me," then that person on the other side of the conversation is just going to stick their finger up in that pie that's still cooling, maybe even take a whole piece or take the pie off the sill. And they're just going to walk away. But instead, church, with everyone that you meet, everyone that you encounter and enter into a relationship with, whether it's someone that you are meeting for the first time or someone you've known your entire life, come to that table and that discussion out of love. Appeal to them out of love. Love them for who they are, for how they believe. And yes, if you think that you have a belief that would benefit them, maybe the belief that Jesus Christ forgives all, no matter how much they mess up, appeal to them out of love and share that beautiful belief with them. Because when you begin in a basis of love, beautiful things can grow. I appeal to you out of love this morning. Amen and alleluia.